Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Now, it's quarter to 12, but I'm telling you right now, I'm preaching my message. All right? I'm preaching it. Will you promise me you're going to stay with me? All right, I heard it. Now, I usually only preach, if you haven't been here a while, I usually preach now about an hour, hour and a half, so you should be out of here by 2 o'clock. No, I'm not long-winded. At least I try not to be. But if the Lord's in it, you're never long-winded. That's right, brother. All right. The Lord laid this on my heart. You're at Hebrews chapter 12. You stay there. I'm going to read verses 1 through 3, but I want to read a couple verses to support my hypothesis that I'm going to give you from Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Now, in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, it says, "And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart," or as King James says, "if we faint not." 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 13 says, "But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary in doing good." We're getting a theme here, aren't we? In Hebrews chapter 12, where you're at, verses 1 through 3, "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." Verse 3, "For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls." I want to preach on growing weary today. Because, sometimes we get weary. The Bible speaks about weariness in the journey over and over. We see it in a prophet named Elijah after he had such a great victory at Mount Carmel and fire from heaven fell down. And just not long after that, a chapter after that, we find him under a juniper tree, essentially wishing that he could die. He got weary. We see Jesus calling his disciples aside to rest a while because he did not want them to become weary. He knew there were times they needed to get their spiritual batteries recharged, and he wanted them to guard against being weary. There are times in our Christian life we become weary. Can I get amen? There are times when we feel overwhelmed and the journey seems hard, and when we lose heart in the journey, our faith becomes weak, our hope becomes a little bit thin, and our enthusiasm begins to wane, and the race becomes more difficult, our steps slower and less vigorous. We get weary. I want to give you some reasons today, and then I want to give you the remedy why we get weary and why we can not get weary. And I hope that made sense. I want you to listen. The Lord laid this on my heart, and I've studied on this, and so I want to give this to you. First of all, sometimes we get weary because the course becomes difficult. Now, I know, and don't misunderstand, I don't want to paint a bleak picture here. The Bible says that the way of a transgressor is hard. Amen. Now, I know that, but let's not be naive. Let's also be real here today, and let's just face the facts that sometimes Christians get weary. Sometimes the green pastures aren't so green. Sometimes the still waters are a little bit rough. Sometimes there's temptations, both bold and subtle, that come to us in our Christian walk. And many times there's temptation to stop. There's temptation to quit. There's temptation to go back where you started from and to lay the cross down and to go a different route. I read about marathon runners, and I read that in a marathon race, there is some point in the race where they hit a wall. They're running the race and they seem to be doing well, and somewhere around the 20 or 21 mile mark, they hit a wall that they just don't feel like they have any energy at all to continue the race. And it's then they have to dig down deep and pull something out that they didn't know was there, and that's just heart, and keep going in the race. You know, sometimes the green pastures aren't green. They're more lean than they are green. Sometimes the green pastures turn into low valleys. Sometimes those getting to those mountaintops seems like such a battle when we are walking those green pastures. Sometimes those still waters have waves that are over our head, and the wind is blowing and the battle's raging, and we don't know if we can go another mile. Sometimes the course is difficult. I think about the children of Israel, and I think about how they were brought out of Egypt and the excitement that they... Can you imagine 400 years of bondage and all of those miracles, and here they come and they're given all the riches of Egypt, and they leave and they're excited and they're enthusiastic, and it's not long on the journey they realize this is no cakewalk we're in. All of a sudden, there's hunger. All of a sudden, there's an obstacle in the way. All of a sudden, their water becomes bitter. All of a sudden, the way gets hard. All of a sudden, they're complaining. All of a sudden, they're saying, "Can God prepare a table for us in the presence of our..." They start questioning God. Why? Because they became weary. They got tired. They realized it takes effort and commitment the whole way through. Sometimes the course is hard. Secondly, sometimes progress doesn't seem as fast as we'd like it to be. Let me explain that, because I think we can relate to this. I really do. Have you ever felt like you're spinning your wheels spiritually? You ever felt like that? You know, I used to run before I hurt my back and had to have back surgery, and I always enjoyed running. I know we got some runners here, but when you're running, you know, you kind of just zone into that run, and what you want to see when you run is scenery going by, right? You want to see trees, and you want to see sidewalk cracks, and you want to see houses, and you want to see things, whatever it is you're running, you want to see things going by you when you run, because that tells you you are making progress. Spiritually, sometimes, and I want to tell you, it could be that you're praying, you're attending church, you might even be opening your Bible and getting into the Word of God, but somehow it seems as though you're not making the progress you expected to make. You hear others talk about victory in their lives, and you hear other families talking about how God is blessing them, and you hear other marriages testifying how God has blessed their marriage, and you hear other parents talk about how God brought their children in, and you hear other saints of God saying, "Oh, I just want to thank God because He answered my prayer," and you're sitting there and you're thinking, "How come it's not happening to me? How come I'm not experiencing the progress that they are?" You feel like you're on a spiritual treadmill, and you wonder, what am I doing wrong? Have you ever been there? I gotta admit, there's been a couple times in my life that I've been there. Sometimes the way gets weary. Sometimes we get weary because of unfulfilled expectations. Number three, unfulfilled expectations. Now, I want to tell you, I would never want to paint a picture for lost people when I, you know, and my main concern, the thing I want to do most is to lead people to Christ. Secondly, I want to feed those who are in Christ. But I want to see people saved. But I would never want to paint a picture to those who are outside of Christ that once you come to Christ, that your life is going to be hunky-dory from here on out. I'll leave that to the TV evangelist. I had to throw that in there. I mean, you know, don't ever believe that because you become a Christian, you're not going to have problems, you're not going to get sick, you're always going to have, money in the bank. Don't think because you become a child of God, suddenly now you are exempt to all the other elements in the world, because you're not. We must be realistic about being a Christian. Listen, what you do have is when hard times come, hallelujah, you've got somebody on your side. We've got a place to go. Peter said, to whom shall we go, Lord? You have the words of eternal life. Hey, listen. Sometimes unfulfilled expectations. Sometimes you don't feel like you ever. Let me back this up. When you woke up this morning, I would say there's a few here that said, I don't really feel like going to church today. But let me ask you right now, aren't you glad you did? Woo! You'd have missed it. You know, sometimes you don't feel like worshiping. Sometimes you don't feel like getting that hand up there. Sometimes you don't feel like praising and singing and shouting. Sometimes, but I want to tell you, when you don't feel like it, do it anyway. You say, wouldn't I be a hypocrite? No, not if you're a child of God. Because here's the facts. We don't go on feelings. We're not going on feelings. We're walking by faith. And I want to tell you, you might get up tomorrow and you might be on the mountaintop and you might not be. And the devil might come to you and say, hey, listen, you're not a child of God. You're not worthy. But I'll tell you this, take them back to the cross. Hallelujah. Oh, the devil will tell you you're not worthy. He'll tell you you're a low-down loser and you've failed God too many times. That's what he'll tell you. But take them back to the cross. When you start feeling like you're overwhelmed, just remember, God doesn't see you as what you are, but he sees you, thank God, as washed in the blood. When he sees a child of God, he sees one that has been washed in the blood. Take him back to the cross. Take him back to the day. I can take him back to the very moment when I got saved. Unfulfilled expectations. The devil will lie to you. You'll feel like you're not on a mountaintop. You're going to have those days. But don't let them get you down. Number four, reasons why we get weary. Listen to me now. Neglect of spiritual necessities. Now, one time I was talking to Mike Bland, and I was asking him about, you know, some things about pastor, and he said, well, it ain't rocket science. And I say about this, it ain't rocket science. You know, the Cavaliers, now listen to me now, even if you're not a Cavs fan. I don't know how you couldn't be in this city. But you know, the Cavaliers have what they call the Big Three, right? LeBron, Kyrie, and Kevin Love. The Big Three. If one of those goes down, I don't think they have a chance of beating the Golden State Warriors. You know what the Christian has? We got the Big Three. Listen now, I wrote them down. Prayer, Bible, and assembling together. I say again, it ain't rocket science. I mean, show me a child of God that does not pray, and I will show you a child of God that is prone to give in to temptation. Show me a child of God who doesn't give a lick about going to church, and I will show you a child of God that don't have any joy down in his heart. Show me a child of God that doesn't care about the Bible, and I'll show you a child of God that is a defeated Christian. Hey, listen, you can amen or oh me, but it's true. Those are the Big Three. And when you neglect the necessities of spiritual warfare, you will become weary in your walk with God. And, I mean, you know, just those simple things people neglect, and then we wonder why we're overwhelmed and why we're weary. We need them. Number five, running with weights on. That's the easiest way to say it. I read it to you in Hebrews 12:1. Laying aside weights and sins that so ensnare us, that beset us, King James says. They thwart us. They drag us down. They keep us from running the race. Listen, when runners train, they may train with some weights on. They may strap a ankle weight around their ankles or carry something in their arms to try and, you know, train and get stronger and all of that. But when they run the race, my goodness, they don't really have enough clothes on to run the race. They don't want any excess baggage. They don't want clothing soaking up sweat and getting heavy. I mean, that's why they run like that. I mean, I think some of them even shave their legs, right? They don't want the excess weight. We don't want excess weight in the run. Listen to me now. When we run with the weight of past hurts, we cannot run this race effectively. When we carry around bitterness from something in the past that we cannot let go, we will never run this race effectively. When we run looking back, we're going to stumble, amen? When we run with the weight of worry and anxiety as a regular daily habit, listen to me. Worry is a sin. Somebody said, well, I got to repent. Oh, yeah. If we're worried about every little thing, everything that comes along rattles us and destroys us, and we're carrying anxiety around like that, where is your faith? Man, you're carrying around a weight you don't need to be carrying. When you have the weight of discouragement in your life, when you're discouraged, you become weary. When you have the weight, and that's what he says here, the weight of unconfessed sin. Oh, my goodness. That is a heavy load to bear. You might think you can hide. Well, you can hide it from everybody around. But my friend, you can't hide it from God. And when a child of God carries around unconfessed sin, things they do in secret that they know is wrong with God, that is a weight to bear. And you will not be effective in the race. We get weary when we run with excess weight. Number six and final one on the reasons. People watching. Now that's okay at the mall, right? And maybe you got a vacation planned at the beach. That's okay at the beach. Guys, just use some sense. I'm serious. But when you people watch in the house of God, listen, it's okay to have confidence in people. That's good. And I got confidence in people here, and I know people have told me they got confidence in me. But when you are watching some person, be it a pastor, be it a preacher, be it a youth worker, be it a teacher, be it an older, I don't care who it is. When you are watching somebody to watch their life, here's what's going to happen. You are going to get disappointed. If you watch me close enough, I will disappoint you in some way. I'm here to tell you. I make mistakes. I don't go out, you know, I'm not saying I go out and willfully sin, but, you know, I make mistakes along the way. I might say something. I might do something that you don't agree with. But when you got your eyes on people, listen, you're going to be disappointed because humans will fail you. People watching will get you in trouble. All right, there's more, and I could have kept going with that. I didn't write them down, but I had to cut it off somewhere. I want to get to the remedy. I mean, weariness. It happens. We're in a battle, right? This is not a recreation room. This is a spiritual battle. And sometimes in the battle, weariness sets in. So how do we guard against weariness? Here's the remedy. Here are the safeguards. I got four of them that I'm going to give you, and I'm preaching them. It's already after 12. That's okay. If you're looking at your watch, you don't have to. I just told you what time it was. Stay with me. This is important. All right? Number one, consider Him. When you start feeling overwhelmed, and when you start feeling like, and you, I've heard folks stand up and testify, and here's what they sound like. Oh, it's so hard to be a Christian. The devil's fighting me. And I don't know if I can go on any longer. Pray for me. Listen, when you feel like you have it so hard, and it's so hard to be a Christian, and those green pastures aren't green anymore, and that still water isn't very still anymore, and the progress is slow, and the expectations are low, and the weights and the burdens are heavy, and people have let you down, consider Him. That's what he tells us there in verse 3. For consider him who endured such hostility. When you think you've had it so hard and there's been nobody else that has such a hard time as you, consider him. And the word consider in the Greek is analogizomai, which something like that, which means analyze, which means compare, which means do the math, right? It means look at what he did and then look at yourself. He says, consider him, lest you get too tired and discouraged. Look at what he bore. Consider the fact that he was born in a stable. Consider the fact that he was attempted to be murdered before he was about the age of two. Consider the fact that his father died when he was a young boy. Consider that he had to support his siblings. Consider that those same siblings didn't even believe in him until after his resurrection. Consider that he was opposed by every religious leader of the day. Consider that he was slandered, said that he was a lunatic, said that he was demon-possessed. Consider that he was betrayed by a very close associate, sold him out for 30 pieces of silver. Consider that he was denied by one of his closest associates. Consider that he was forsaken by all. Consider that the very ones he came to save rejected him. Consider that he was spit on, that he was beat, that he was mocked, that he was crowned with a crown of thorns, that he was nailed to a cross. Consider that the next time you feel like you're just so overwhelmed, you can't go another mile. Because you consider him, he says, he endured it. He stuck it out. He went all the way to Calvary for you so that you could sit here today and enjoy the blessings of God. Make that comparison. Number one, consider him. Number two, look to him. That's what he says in verse 2, looking unto Jesus. Look to him. Good news. He will never fail you. Good news, he'll never let you down. Good news, he'll keep all his promises. People may let you down, but he will not. And this comes on the heels of Hebrews 11, the Hall of Faith chapter. And he says, we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witness. And he's talking about Moses and Noah and Abraham and the old patriarchs. Listen, he says, they're a witness to us. Remember that message, Balcony People, by David Crow. And think about this. It's not so much that they're in the balcony, that's good, but it's their lives. Moses murdered a guy. Abraham struggled with his faith. Noah got drunk. These folks had issues. They had battles that they had to fight, and yet they persevered. They made it. He said, their life is a witness to you, but we don't look to them. He says, looking unto Jesus. Looking to his person, he says he is the author and the finisher. You know what that means? He is the beginner. He's the leader. The author is the leader. Look to him. Not only look to his person, look to his passion. He says, for the joy that was set before him, he endured it. He loved you so much. He was so passionate about bringing you into the family of God that he endured it all. Look at his position. The Bible says there in verse 2 that he is seated at the right hand of the Father. And there, he is not only an example to us, because the Bible says he was in all points tempted like as we are, but I declare to you that he is observing you and rooting you on in your race. Look to him. He will never fail you. He will never let you down. So consider him. Look to him. Listen to him. All right? I read Hebrews chapter 2, the first three verses, but I want to read verse 25. He says, see that you do not refuse him who speaks. Listen to him. If you know my grandson Jackson, I preached him asleep. You're welcome, dear. Oh, he's not sleeping. He's playing. Okay. But if you, that didn't go over because he wasn't sleeping. But if you listen to Jackson talk, I can only understand about 15% of what he says. But even what I can't understand, I love to hear him talk. Because I walk in and he'll be like, you know what I mean? And it's like, You know, he's speaking in tongues. And I can't understand most of what he says, but I love to hear him talk. But I got to tell you, as much as I love to hear him talk, I'm not going to, you know, go make any investments based on his advice. You know, I'm not going to make any life decisions based on Jackson's advice, as much as I love to hear him talk or try to. But now, if a policeman pulls me over and he comes up into the window and he starts talking to me about, you know, that, you know, you went through a stop sign, all of a sudden I'm listening just a little bit more intently, right? If your doctor calls you and he's got some news for you, shh, what's that, right? In Hebrews chapter 2, I read to you, verses 1 through 3, he said, if the word that the angels spoke was given steadfast, it was steadfast. If angels speak, man, if an angel showed up and started talking to you, you'd listen, right? What about God? Boy, listen, you think people want to listen when E.F. Hutton speaks? What about when God speaks? He speaks through his word. And yes, sometimes he speaks through the preacher. And sometimes he speaks through a saint that you know in a testimony or in a word of encouragement. He speaks through them. God still speaks. And when God speaks, we need to listen to him. And when God deals with your heart in some area of your life, that's the time to make a move. Because if you put it off, the devil will defeat you. Last one now. So we've seen the reasons why we're weary. Now we see the remedy. We got to consider him, look to him, listen to him. Last one, come to him. All right, remember what Jesus said in Matthew chapter, was it Matthew 11, 28? He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I don't know about you, but that sounds really good when I'm tired, when I'm weary, when I'm overwhelmed from the battle, when my life is, you know, just seemingly become slower in my spiritual walk, to know that Jesus is saying to me, come to me if you're weary. I'll give you rest. I'll give you what you need. I'll give you some encouragement. I'll give you some water from a well that'll just revive your soul. So I say to you today, let's get a song. I say to you today, consider him, look to him, listen to him. But the most important aspect of that is come to him. Come to Jesus. It's not enough to know about him. It's not enough to say you believe in him. You've got to put your faith and trust in him, or that you believe there's a God. That's not enough to say. You've got to really put that faith into action. Put your trust in him. Maybe God's been dealing with you, and I'm persuaded. Here's what I believe. I believe that when God starts dealing with people's lives, they start exhibiting evidences of it. And one of the things I think is an evidence is that they start seeking God. And maybe that's you here today. You've been seeking God in a way that, but you just haven't surrendered yet. You know you need him. You know he's dealing with your life. But today I would encourage you, come to Jesus. Just simply raise your white flag and say, I surrender to you. Lord, would you forgive me? Come into my life. I know I'm a sinner. Would you come into my life? Forgive me, and I want to live for you. I believe that you died for me. I believe that you rose again the third day. Would you save me? Pray that in your own words. And I'm telling you, the Lord will save your soul. Father, we love you. Thank you for this time together, for the wonderful worship, for your presence. Oh, how we long for that, how we thirst, Lord, from a visit from heaven. And you've been blessing us so much here. You're so good to us. And we don't take that lightly, nor do we take it for granted. We love you and we thank you. We pray that we would continue to seek and serve you in a way that's pleasing and effective for you. Lord, as we come to this most important time, oh, would you touch our hearts today? Would you speak to our hearts today? And that one, two, three, whoever that is perhaps out of the ark of safety, not in the family of God today,
would they take this advice? Would the Holy Spirit just ingrain it in their heart now? Come to Jesus. In Christ's name, amen.